welcome to the radio broadcast of Calvary Baptist Church in Carrboro, North Carolina. We're located at 1000 West Main Street, just 1 mile from the campus of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Calvary is an independent Baptist church that stands for the fundamentals of the faith, holy living, evangelism and discipleship through the local church, and separation from ecclesiastical apostasy and compromise. Now, we would love to have you visit with us if you're in our area. Our services are warm-hearted, and we emphasize preaching from the King James Bible. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so through the station, or you may call us at area code 919-942-2653. I'm Dr. Gary Webb. I'm the pastor at Calvary, and I pray that our broadcast will be a blessing to you as we give our consideration to a study of the Word of God. And we've been in the book of, we're studying through the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 15. We've been looking at two verses there for a couple of series. Let me read those verses. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 and 21 say, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now, we looked at these verses to touch on two topics that might be controversial for some. We talked about Miriam the prophetess. First of all, saw what the Bible had to say about women preachers and being in the ministry. And now we've got a series here we've called Dancing, Wise, and Otherwise. And we said there is a wise type of dancing in the Bible. The purpose of the wise dance, we said, was to praise and worship the Lord God. And we talked about the performance of the wise dance, and that was important. This is what distinguishes the wise dance from the otherwise dance, and that is that they were only either males or females, and they were never dancing together. There was more or less like a parade where the women were together. They would beat time on these timbrels or handheld drums or tambourine type things. There was no lewd movements of the body. There were no men and women together. Again, pointed out that Miriam is the one who led this dance, and she was 90 years old. And so that would rule out a great many of the movements that are made today in dancing. And there wasn't any kind of sensuous beat, no rock, jazz, disco, or rap beat, but just the beating of time as these women marched, more or less like in a parade today, a ticker tape parade. But again, they were all fully clothed. They were not immodestly dressed. And so, something very different. And we talked about the propriety of the wise dance, too. We pointed out that in the New Testament, there is no mention whatsoever of dance as a part of the worship in the local church. In fact, we also pointed out that though there are instances of dance in society, and when Israel was a nation, these public dances, parade-type things, there is never any mention of dancing in the temple or in the synagogue where people worshiped the Lord and heard the Word of God taught. So today we're going to start talking about dancing that's otherwise. It's not wise, but it's otherwise. And let's talk about the purpose of the otherwise dance. In Exodus chapter 25, Exodus chapter 32, we have an example of dancing that was otherwise. It was not wise. And I want to read from Exodus 32, verses 5 to 8. It says, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people which thou hast brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And then verse 19 of that chapter says, And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Verse 25 says, And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. Now let me read also from 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16, which says, And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And then Matthew 14, verse 6, it says, And when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Now, in the first passage, Israel was involved in pagan worship. There was drinking of alcoholic beverages. There was immorality. There was dancing between men and women. In the second passage, 1 Samuel 30, it was a pagan Amalekite army dancing. They had raided David's camp. They had spoiled them, taken their goods, taken the women. There was drunkenness and dancing. The third example was Herod, a wicked, godless king, an adulterous king, who had married his sister-in-law after they had both divorced. And his niece danced before him and the other men at a big party in a lewd dance. Now, let me read what John Broadus said in his commentary on Matthew. And I'm quoting, In all Eastern countries, women being kept in great seclusion, it has always been considered extremely improper for a female to dance in public. It is very common to hire dancing women to exhibit at entertainments, but the business is highly disreputable, and it is commonly taken for granted that they are women of bad character. True, Jewish women lived in less seclusion than other Eastern nations, and there are instances of their taking part by songs and dancing in public rejoicing. But this was considered a religious act and quite a different thing from taking place of the dancing girls at a feast. The Romans, too, had their dancing girls at entertainments, but regarded it as a disreputable calling. Now, folks, anybody with a half a lick of sense can tell you the purpose in these instances of dancing that I just read. It was to incite wicked passions. It was to incite lust between men and women. Now, I know that some people argue that the square dancing has no such motive. And some people will even argue that ballet is also a pure form of dance. Well, if that is true, why don't women square dance without men? Or why don't men square dance without women? But having said that, of course, even that would be dangerous in our society when homosexuality is so prevalent. And I also ask, if the ballet is so pure, why do they have to be naked to do it? Well, there's no logical answer to that. No scriptural or godly answer to it. So listen, the Bible only demonstrates two reasons to dance. One is to praise God, or one is to please the flesh. Now, if you tell me you're going to dance to praise God, I don't think you're worshiping the God of the Bible. You're worshiping the God of the world. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 5 to 8, the Bible says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Someone might say, well, we're just going to have a good time together. We're just out to have a good time with some friends. Well, if having a good time means you're pleasing the flesh, then you don't love God. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, folks, there's no way you can get around it. The purpose of otherwise dancing is sin. That's the purpose of it. Well, let's talk then about the performance of the otherwise dance. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 22, it says, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and then that sat with him, and the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And the Bible says that these wicked men were pleased by this young woman's dancing. And Herod was willing to give up half his kingdom. He'd obviously been drinking, to say something like that. He was under the influence of alcohol. But instead of asking for half his kingdom, this young, immoral girl asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. She wanted to see the preacher, the Word of God, killed, because he had condemned the adultery of her mother. Now, what was it about this dance that was so pleasing to this wicked man Herod? Well, Heber, in his commentary, says this: such dances were grossly suggestive, pantomimic representations comparable to a striptease act in a modern nightclub. In other words, this dance that she did mimicked immorality. You know, nothing has changed today. Kids and adults everywhere are involved in dirty dancing. But of course, the cultured people want us to believe that ballroom dancing somehow is an art form and it's not so wicked. Well, listen, folks. When you get a male and a female holding on to each other, who very often are not husband and wife, that's a recipe for immorality. In fact, some people are honest enough to admit that dancing is a prelude to immorality. And someone might say, well, I would never dance with anyone but my spouse. Okay? But why would a Christian act in such a way in a public place? Why should you do something in public that only should be done in private? Most dance music is sensual in its rhythms. It's godless in its character. Not all, but most. How can a Christian who has an indwelling Holy Spirit use his body to perform lewd movements and engage in activities that incite wicked passions? Proverbs 14 says we're to avoid and flee from the way of the wicked man. The performance of the otherwise dance has no place in righteous living, and clearly reveals what the purpose of such a dance is. Will you think on these things, and let's bring our lives again in submission to the Word of God. May the Lord bless you.
Some years ago, the Cunard White Star Lines ran a series of advertisements, and among them was one entitled, It's Still Men That Count. In the ad, it emphasized that although the modern ocean liner is in constant contact with the shore, her bearings confirmed by radio, her course held true by a gyro pilot, nevertheless, the men on the bridge know that the destiny of the ship and its passengers is in their hands. The same is true in the spiritual realm. It's still men that count. God is looking for those who will serve Him. And a call to serve is a call to prepare. The Maryland Baptist Bible College has been training men and women for Christian service for over 25 years. If we can help you, call us at 1-800-226-0869 or write the Maryland Baptist Bible College, P.O. Box 66, Elton, Maryland, 21922.